namo bhagavate vasudevaya。Om namo bhagavate vasudevaya。It's been since Friday evening, separation from Canto 10, Chapter 12. Saturday and Sunday, two different things. So, on Friday evening, we completed a really long section about the cowherd boys entering into the Vrindavan forest on the very day that, later in the day, they encountered Agasura, the big serpent demon, and many other things happened in the chapter, chapter 12. And the verse that took so long to cover is because it's so important is, if you have your little handheld device, you can look up 10, 12, 11, because we're going to chant it together. And it's a very important verse. It's describing, among other things, the good fortune of the residents of Vrindavan. Specifically, the good fortune of the cowherd boys. You've got the verse in front of you? Okay. Itam satama sukhan rutya. Dasyam gatanam paradaivatena. Maya shatanam naradarakena. Sakam prajru krita punya punjaha. Let's do it one more time. Itam satam brahma sukhanu brutya. Dasyam gatanam para daivatena. Maya shritanam naradarakena. Sakam vajaro krita punya punja. So the focus is going to the cowherd boys in Vrindavan who are playing with Krishna. And that absolute truth, who they're playing with, is the same as the object of realization of the jnanis for desire Brahmasukh, merging with Brahman. It's the same realization of those who are engaged in dasya bhakti, worshipping the personality of Godhead through their service. And for those who are materialists, the maya, ashrita, those who have taken shelter of maya, we see him as an ordinary person, but the cowherd boys, they're playing with him. So that's the special good fortune, elevated position of the cowherd boys. So the translation reads, in this way, the previous five verses, it's what the cowherd boys, how they would play during the day with Krishna, and Krishna would play with them and the calves and just have a good time. In this way, the cowherd boys used to play with Krishna, who is the source of Brahman effulgence for the jnanis desiring to merge into that effulgence, who is the Supreme Personality of Godhead for devotees who accepted eternal servitorship, and who for the ordinary persons is but another ordinary child. The cowherd boys, having accumulated the results of pious activities from many lives, were able to associate in this way with the Supreme Personality of Godhead. How can one explain their great fortune? So this is Shukadeva Goswami, and after describing, he just has this outburst of ecstatic appreciation, ecstatic love. How fortunate are these cowherd boys? So he's describing his Vrajalila. Now he's just describing their good fortune. It's not only them, all the residents of Vrindavan in different sections, they get that same kind of special glorification. Then, along the same vein, the next text continues. Yogis may undergo severe austerities and penances for many births by practicing yama, niyama, asana, pranayama, none of which are easily performed. Yet, in due course of time, this is many births worth, when these yogis attain the perfection of controlling the mind, they will still be unable to taste even a particle of dust from the lotus feet of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. What then can we describe about the great fortune of the inhabitants of Brajabhumi Vrindavan, with whom the Personality of Godhead personally lived and who saw the Lord face to face? So the previous verse, this celebrated verse 11, is describing the impersonalists, the devotees, but he hasn't yet described the yogis. So now this verse is the yogis, who, after many, many births of severe practice, may, in perfection, control the mind, but they can't taste even a particle of dust. Now, this particle of dust is explained in the commentary. It means, in case you wondered, because I've always wondered, what is the intention it's having a relationship with? Now, the dasya bhaktas, they have some relationship, certainly, in terms of their service. But now this is heightened by the direct contact with the Supreme Lord. They personally lived with and who saw the Lord face to face every day. So, here's Prabhupada's purport, chapter 12, text 12. We can simply imagine the great fortune of the inhabitants of Vrindavan. It is impossible to describe how, after many, many births of pious activities, they have become so fortunate. So as was spoken about the cowherd boys, that Prabhupada is applying this to all the residents of Vrindavan. That's the sadhana, siddha persons. Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur writes, what to speak of playing with Krishna, even establishing a relationship with Krishna, is very rare. That is the intent of this verse. The yogis do not attain even one particle of dust of Krishna's feet, pada, pamsuhu. Those who are fully concentrating their minds, dhritat mabihi, cannot attain him. It was mentioned earlier that Krishna is not sukhapa, easily attained. Swayamstita, being self-situated, indicates that seeing him does not depend even on sadhana. Oh, what great fortune! Dishtam aho. Oh, a happy festival! Who can describe the good fortune or happiness of the Vrijvasis who see Krishna unobtainable by yogis who cannot even attain a particle of dust at his feet after concentrating their minds for lifetimes? Now, the meaning of seeing him does not depend even on sadhana. Doesn't mean it's optional. It means it's not if you do this, you get that. Just do enough sadhana and you have your credential. You paid for your item at the store and now you're entitled to the item at the store. It's not a mercantile exchange. I do this, I get that. It's dependent upon mercy. Doesn't mean don't do sadhana. Or it's optional. Jiva Goswami commentary explains, not even considering the great fortune of their constant playing with Krishna, the great souls cannot even attain, as the yogis, cannot even attain the fortune of seeing Krishna. So the previous is the emphasis has gone to playing with Krishna. Here he is taking the emphasis to seeing Krishna, which all people in Braja see. I don't know if you attended the classes. There was a series, more than one, on the distinction between meditation, like the meditation that's done in Tapaloka, and the fixing one's mind on Krishna that comes with bhakti. That fixing one's mind on Krishna is by attachment, and with that attachment, then Krishna shows his form. Remember, will you attend that discussion? No. It's just a quick, because there's details in all these recordings. We read the section where Pipalaya Rishi is one of the Navayogendras. The Navayogendras are the persons who instructed King Nimi the beginning parts of Canto 11. They're sons of Rishabdev, 9 perfected souls. One of their ashrams, places of habitation, is in Tapaloka, and their meditators in there explaining the meditation process to Gopakumar. You know who's Gopakumar? You know what Gopa means, right? Gopi means the young girls, and Gopa means the young boys. Gopa, the cowherd boy. Gopa. Gopi, Gopa. And Kumar means a particular age, youth. Komara Acharat Pragyo, from Bhagavatam, Prahlad Maharaj. Kumara is, well, when you go to school, that's the Kumara age. Kumara is 5 to 10. Bala is childhood, and then comes Kumara. So when you turn 5 and you go to school, that's school age. Kumara. So, Gopa Kumar. He's a 5-year-old boy who, that's his name, is Gopakumar. He was given a mantra when he was just 5. He was given a mantra by a guru in Vrindavan, because he lived in Vrindavan. He herded cows with the other boys. And he chanted his mantra, and his mantra was very powerful. His guru told him, through this mantra, all desirable things will be attained. So he had lots of desires, he was a little boy. And he went here and went there and went there and went there and went there. So one of the places he went through the power of his mantra was Tapa Loka. Tapa means austerity. Tapa. Tapasya. Heard that term? Tapasya, austerity. So there's people, there's austere brahmacharis, celibate men, that live in this region called Tapaloka. It's very high in the planetary structure. Above heaven is Maharloka, then Janaloka, then Tapaloka, and then the topmost, just above Tapaloka, is Lord Brahma's planet, the topmost planet. So, Gopakumara went to Tapaloka, and he saw these residents there just engaged in meditation for a long time. And he was like, let's have a conversation. They were in meditation, so he didn't disturb. Then they were explaining to him about the meditation process. And they said, putting it really simply, what are you running around looking for Gopakumara for? We see him all the time. We see him all the time in our meditation. And you want to see with your eyes, but they gave this whole philosophy that says, before something is recognized with the eyes, it has to register in the mind. So really seeing is in the mind. So why are you running around with your eyes to go see Madan Gopal? Just see him in your mind. We'll teach you the process. It's really fantastic. And then you can stop running around looking for Madan Gopal. So he tried it out. And he saw Madan Gopal. And he thought, wow, this is great. But somehow it just didn't quite make it. It wasn't the same as seeing, not with the material eyes, but with spiritual eyes, is different than seeing in the mind. And so he eventually left. He went to some other places. And when he went to some other places, he was instructed by the Vishnu Dutas. You know who the Vishnu Dutas are, right? Agents of Vishnu. You know the Ajamila story? So it's the Vishnu Dutas that came. Those are the Vishnu Dutas. The agents of Vishnu. The Vishnu Dutas congratulated him. Nice going, Gopakumara. You, because your bhakti is so strong, you didn't stay in Tapaloka, although it was pretty convincing, sounded really good, and in your meditation you could see Madan Gopal, but it's not the same. I mean, so his experience was being confirmed. It's a long section, but seeing within and seeing without. They're not able to see without. They can, you know, in their mind they can see, which is nice. It's better than not seeing. But it's not the same as seeing with your whole being, seeing through the agency of bhakti. And that's what's being presented here. All of that explanation is, there are yogis that after many lifetimes of severe practice, they may be able to, they may be able to control their mind. And in their state of controlled mind, they're still not seeing the Lord. And the residents in Vrindavan, they're constantly seeing the Lord. They're better than the yogis. They're better than the Brahmavadis, the ones that want to merge in the happiness of Brahman. They're beyond that. So now back to these yogis. Even the most perfected, elevated ones cannot even receive a grain of dust from his feet. So that's Jiva Goswami's words. A grain of dust from his feet means they cannot establish any sort of relationship with him. Ah. So in Tapaloka, they're seeing, but there's no relationship. And that's the Madgatena Antaratmana message, always thinking of Krishna within, is through attachment to him, through that relationship with him, the attachment to him. Nice. They cannot see from far away, even a ray of the devotees who drink or gaze at the Lord's feet. Pada, pa. To drink. They drink with prema, though the yogis, on attaining samadhi, have made their minds steady by hardships of pratyahara, yama, and niyama for many lives. That person, Swayam Bhagavan, saha eva, whom they see directly with their eyes, Vrijvasis, is situated in his swarup, or his nature, Swayam, and is firmly, eternally existing there with them. This usage is similar to, and makes a reference from the Upanishads, Narayana, who is the whole universe and is spread everywhere, exists there eternally. In amazement, he says, this is Shukadeva Goswami speaking, because the previous he was amazement, and here's another amazement. Ah! How can one describe their good fortune? How can one describe what has been fixed, their great festival of joy? It cannot be described at all. So now we're continuing, just to keep focus. It's this one verse, 10:12:12. We read the verse. Here's an explanation, a commentary on that verse found elsewhere. Chapter 51 of Canto 10 is Kaliyavana chasing Krishna. And he's scolding him. You're a yadu. Why are you running from the battlefield? Stop and fight. So, while chasing the Lord, the yavana cast insults at him, saying, you took birth in the yadu dynasty. It's not proper for you to run away. But still, Kaliyavana could not reach Krishna because his sinful reactions had not been cleansed away. Commentary, that was the verse. Here's Jiva Goswami's commentary on that verse, making reference to ours for this evening. See, he could not catch Krishna. Kaliyavana began scolding him in order to stop him. Since Krishna was famous among the Yadus for his courage, he should not flee. Scolding him, he followed him. Could not catch him at all. Appa. The reason is Ataha Shubha. Literally, he has not destroyed his sins. Since his sins were eradicated by suddenly seeing the Lord, presence of sin cannot be the cause of his not attaining the Lord. One could propose that if Kaliyavana's auspiciousness were unimpeded, he would have caught his enemy. However, he could not catch Krishna because of his inimical mentality and actions. One should not lament that Kaliyavana did not get liberation, since he did attain liberation later. However, just with the destruction of their sins, demons do not attain the Lord. Like other forms of the Lord, killing of Ravana and Hiranyakashipu, etc., they were killed by the Lord. Their sins were eradicated, but they didn't achieve liberation. They came again. So here's a quote. Now, from Canto 2, Chapter 7, this is about Krishna. In Krishna's hand, they did. The demons headed by, so here's a recitation of names of demons. It's not auspicious sound, but because they're filled by Krishna, it's nice. Kalamba, Duki, Dainuka, Bhaka, Keshi, Arishta, the wrestlers, Kuvayapida, Kamsa, Kaliyavana, Dvidvida, Pondraka, Shelva, Narakasara, Balvala, Dantavakra, the seven bulls, Shambara, Vidurata, and Rukmi, as well as those with bow in hand, glorious in fighting on the battlefield, such as the Kambojas, Matsyas, Kurus, Sirinjayas, and Kaikayas will attain Sayuja or Vaikuntha by the Lord or through his instruments, Balaram, Arjuna, Bhima, and others. So that's verse 2734, just like in the third chapter of Canto 1, list of incarnations. Seventh chapter of Canto 2, list of incarnations. And when it gets to Krishna, there's several verses, not just one. And this is one of those, that he gave liberation to the demons he killed. The next, the Lord cannot be attained by any ordinary means, and that's this verse, 10:12:12. Swayam Bhagavan Krishna, whose foot dust cannot be seen by yogis in society, who have controlled their mind by severe hardship from many births, is eternally situated here, directly visible to the eyes of the people of Vraja. Oh, how can the good fortune of the people of Vraja be described? And then next, he goes to the means of achieving that. The special means is indicated. So the previous is, by ordinary means, the Lord cannot be achieved. Here's the special means how he can be achieved. Chapter 14, Brahma's Prayers, says, only by bhakti, with full faith, can the devotees obtain me, Paramatma, the object of love. Bhakti, fixed in me, purifies even a dog eater with his low birth. Excuse me, that's not Brahma's Prayers. This is Canto 11. I wonder why it's first person. It's Uddhava Gita. Uddhava Gita. Pardon me. So Krishna speaking to Uddhava. Only by bhakti. Narada says something quite similar about only by bhakti. But only by bhakti with full faith can the devotees obtain me, Paramatma, the object of love. Bhakti, fixed in me, purifies even a dog eater of his low birth. And then, Canto 10, Chapter 15. Some of the cowherd boys, who are all great souls, would then massage his lotus feet. And others, qualified by being free of all sin, would expertly fan the Supreme Lord. Last paragraph. In the above verse, hata papmanaha refers to the highest bhakti, and that is devoid completely of indifferent or hostile attitude towards the Lord. Thus, in the verse, the phrase hata ashubaha means his inimical attitude towards the Lord. That's the inimical attitude of Kaliyavana. How could he attain the Lord in the manner that Yashoda caught him? as he ran away. That's it for this evening. So, once again, in different ways, the 10th canto is pointing out the, with many references from scripture and so forth, the unique kind of love of the residents of Vrindavan compared to any other kind of love. Like this Dasya Bhakti, it doesn't say specifically, but it seems to indicate the mood of love in Vaikuntha, the mood of service. Just simply focusing on his opulence and his majesty and his feature of Bhagavan. Now there's very special devotees like Narada that are certainly and Uddhava, and for that matter even Queen Kunti. You know, they understand Krishna as Bhagavan. And they have a relationship with Krishna as Bhagavan. But they don't have the same good fortune as the residents of Vrindavan of, during his youthful pastimes at least, of seeing him all the time and having a direct relationship, playing with him, being the mother and father of him. Like the contrast is made of Mother Yashoda and Nanda with even Vasudeva and Devaki, that they had the position of mother, but they didn't have any part of Krishna's childhood pastimes. So, I mean, think about it. You have a son or a daughter, and that's it. There's no activity with the son or the daughter for their whole youth. It's just they're gone. Whereas even the residents of Vrindavan that weren't the mother-father, but they had the relationship with Krishna like mother-father, and they had more, they were more fortunate, more blessed than Vasudeva and Devaki as mother-father. It's described that when they were doing their household duties, they were their minds were completely absorbed in Krishna, that though it was their home, Krishna didn't come back at night to their home after herding the calves or cows. They were doing their household duties out of devotion for Krishna because he meant everything to them. How fortunate. And then when they would see him, what they felt. When they weren't seeing him, what they felt. And so, from so many different angles, there's like a refrain that doesn't stop. It's again and again and again. Because it's so special, we're being reminded of its specialness in so many ways again and again. We're going to hear it again tomorrow morning, same thing. And then tomorrow evening, same thing. Because it's inspiring us, it's bringing into focus the truths about the residents of Vrindavan. This is part of Krishna Tattva. And then, what to speak of the truths about Krishna, it's stimulating our attraction for that particular kind of love. It has that effect. It's meant to bring us to that kind of love. And it's natural to hanker for that kind of love. The teaching of Rupa Goswami is a teaching not of only of Vaidhi Bhakti but Raghunuga Bhakti. So what's the difference? Those of you that like reading Nectar Devotion and getting good grades in your Nectar Devotion class. Vaidhi simply means following the rules. It's like this thing that says he can't be attained just by good sadhana. That's Vaidhi Bhakti. Attaining is, you know, neglect your good sadhana, but it's something additional. It's, hearing about and appreciating and hankering for the good fortune of the Ragatmika Bhaktas. The Ragatmika Bhaktas is defined as those who are eternal associates of Krishna, who are absorbed in the mood of love of Krishna as the Brijvasis are. And one becomes a follower of the Ragatmikas. So it starts just by hearing about them. Like, you know, I don't know, young people commonly today have their hero. And young people today, these boys, there's some athlete. You know, may not be something you talk to a sannyasi about, but you've got, you know, whoever that somebody is. Before, in Chicago, was Michael Jordan. You know, that then you wear the jersey and, you know, he's the hero. Michael Jordan. Not, then it's somebody else, and then it's somebody else, and then who is the next somebody else, and, like, I was visiting one place, and, somebody about your age, very enthusiastically said, "Maharaj, what's your favorite football team?" And his father said, "You know, he doesn't participate in, you know, football watching." Then the boy didn't, you know, he was okay. He said, "Mine is New England Patriots." You know, of course, if it's New England Patriots in those days, we know who was his hero. So he, you know, that was his. So we all have, it's natural. There are persons who we emulate, and in spiritual life, the emulation from those who read Bhagavatam, of course, there's heroes like Prahlad and other great personalities, Dhruva Maharaj, etc., etc. But it leads one, in addition to Shuddha Bhakti, it leads one to Braja Bhakti. Because they're the heroes amongst the heroes. They're the superlative amongst the perfect. So the perfect yogis, the perfect jnanis, the perfect bhaktas, and they're the perfect amongst the perfect. And by the effect of hearing again and again is, it's Raghunuga Bhakti. Or it's the seed of Raghunuga Bhakti. It doesn't direct us to this particular rasa or that particular rasa, although exalted is Madhurya Rasa. Again and again and again. And again and again and again. And again. And so, because Krishna is most lovingly attracted by those who have that intense love for him, it doesn't diminish the love of Arjuna or the love of anyone of his pure devotees, because they're in direct relationship with Krishna. But there's an exaltedness of the love of the residents of Vrindavan. Our path is a raga path. And it, you know, we don't have to get hit over the head or with a hammer about it. It's just, it's there. It's right there in the Bhagavatam. And becomes, part of our, you know, we metabolize it. It becomes part of our being. You know, you eat food, but if you don't chew your food well, you may not be able to digest it. It doesn't go into your system. It may make you sick. You got to chew your food well. Eat the right food, but then and chew it well. And once it becomes digested and assimilated within the body, then you have good health, or the potential of good health, because there's always disease. As long as you have a body, you get to some kind or another. But as we hear that similarly, as we hear and internalize the sound vibration, it becomes our very life. That's how we think and how we breathe and how we live. And we conduct our activities, and the internal consciousness becomes a Krishna consciousness towards that goal of life. And as it becomes more and more just how we live our lives, it spiritualizes everything that we do. That's our Madhvatena Antaratmana process, not the yogi process. Because then when it becomes eligible to enter that mode of the Brijvasis, and they have this opportunity to directly see every day the personality of Godhead, at least during his childhood pastimes. And the mood changes when he leaves Vrindavan. The sweetness subsides, and the Aishvarya feature increases. The appearance of that Aishvarya feature becomes more prominent. But it's Krishna, Krishna, Krishna. So we don't push that other part to the side. Prabhupada would often speak like that. Some people say, I've never heard people say, but he says some people say, oh, we're not interested in Bhagavad Gita. We're interested in, the highest. We're interested in 10th canto. Not even Bhagavatam. We're just, forget Bhagavad Gita. But that's also Krishna. It's not to minimize Krishna's different aspects, because Krishna Tattva is Krishna's the whole package. He's everything. And we're interested in everything that is connected with Krishna. Is there something that's not connected with Krishna? But to see everything connected with Krishna, we need to see what that sambandha, what that relationship is. He's the source. In the morning, we're going to be discussing a very interesting topic, the relation of Maya and Krishna. It's Krishna's Maya. Sva Mayaya is the phrase. And it's like, goes back and forth and up and down and sideways on that topic, because it's part of Krishna. So that which is part of Krishna doesn't touch Krishna. It's his external Maya acting under the agency of his internal Maya. So we're going to hear some more about that. So how Krishna in Vrindavan is functioning is appreciated even more when we understand how Krishna is, his energies, his potencies, including his illusory potency, is acting under his direction. Nothing happens without his sanction. So if you want to do really well in school, or do really well in sports, or do really well in anything, we're dependent on Krishna's mercy. The one who understands that, that's Krishna consciousness, and we act doing things conscious of that person who we're dependent upon, and thus have a relationship. And such a person is the best of the yogis, and the best of the gyanis, and the best of the bhaktas. They're always in that relationship. But the resident of Vrindavan, they're very special. Can't get away from it. And Krishna feels that towards them also. So let's see if we have some discussion. It's your birthday. You got to have a question today. Okay. So you go first. If you let him mull it over.
Hare Krishna, good morning. Thank you so much for connecting us to the Vrajavasis. It feels so much of a life. I'm sorry I couldn't follow the other lectures due to the time difference.
Yeah, that's okay.
I'll go back and hear. When you were speaking about this, the meditation, Gopakumar's interaction with the Tapaloka Vasis, Guru Maharaj, my thoughts are going to this two-part question. One part is, Kartama Muni, he was having that personal relationship with the Lord in the form of Kapila Dev, but then he was going away to have this meditation. I was somehow thinking about that, like when you mentioned Gopakumar was not really satisfied with that, even though he was able to see Madan Gopal.
So what you're making a statement. What's your question? Why did he leave? He had something higher. Why did he leave to something lesser? That's your question. It's a good question. And the only understanding I have been able to receive is he was setting an example. With the elder son, you go off and you do what people then that have retired from family life do. So he was setting that example.
The second part is when they were explaining we have to perceive with our mind before we see with our eyes. I was thinking of our relationship with the Holy Name and the Deities Guru Maharaj. At times it feels there is very personal reciprocation. I mean, when somehow or other, by the mercy of hearing, when
resources that Krishna has provided you and me and us, it's nourishing bhakti. Theirs is nourishing the experience within meditation, which isn't, there's a distinction. Yes? You know people that do meditation, and they experience something, and that inspires them to continue doing their meditation because of that experience that they experience. Part of it is the calmness and, you know, all of that nice experience. And then there may be, you know, a happiness that goes within that calmness space, and they like that. Not the happiness of the senses and sense objects, that's another thing. But it's not, that's not bhakti. And ours is, the happiness is, we're being encouraged and directed towards a relationship of being connected in that relationship and being in a mood of service. Not that we're the enjoyer, but by that connection, that there's a natural happiness. So it's different. It's different. At least directionally, it's different.
Just want to share this, Guru Maharaj. As you are speaking about meditation versus connection to the Holy Name, we are reading this Bhagavad Gita, right, with the new people. So one of them expressed, every day I'm trying to do this calming meditation, like nothing, just trying to calm myself down. It's really helping me. So I said, why don't you try with the japa, like chant Hare Krishna Maha Mantra, that 10 minutes, just one round and see. So they were sharing how connecting it's feeling. So the blank meditation versus japa.
Was?
The blank meditation versus japa, the difference in the connection. They were just sharing appreciation.
I had that experience during college days when I was doing that type, and compared to japa, it was quite different experience.
Hare Krishna Guru Maharaj. I had a doubt earlier that how is that in ISKCON, when I read in Nectar Devotion about the Raganuga Bhakti part, how is that we are practicing in ISKCON? I didn't had a very clear idea, but looks like right now the way you have presented it, it's more of cultivation through hearing rather than going to the physically going to the Vrindavana, residing there,
oh, yeah,
and practicing with the.
But everything, there's everything that we do in bhakti, provided we do it properly, it will mature. So there are more mature stages of that following. You can, you know, can get really specific about, you know, anyway, it gets more specific. Let's just say someone may be very attracted to, not, you know, in the mind, but at a deeper level, attracted to the parental affection. Not the, you know, the worldly experience of parental affection, but, so then, there may be some attraction for a particular mood of the residents of Vrindavan who are in that maternal affection. And then it gets even more specific, you know, their mannerisms, their speech, their dress, the flowers in their hair, their expressions. It gets very, very specific in attachment. So, you know, then, so, or amongst the gopis, a particular gopi, or, you know, so forth and so on. Yeah, but cowherd boys, different moods, different natures, different activities. Or, like, the one that we heard the mention, the fanning Krishna. And just, there's their favorite servant of Krishna that serves in a particular mood. It's something about that. So it becomes more gradually, when spiritual maturity comes, it's not cosmetic, it's something that's internal. But it starts with just hearing, because we're pretty covered and we have to get free from that covering. Thus, you know, preliminary and gradually more maturing stages of Raghunatha Bhakti. But the Bhagavatam takes us there, says, fasten your seatbelt, you're on the Raghunatha Bhakti train. How are we doing? Online? Is it the Wi-Fi system here?
This question is from Rupa Mataji, Vinod Prabhu's wife. During the reign of Maharaj Parikshit, he had defeated the age of Kali by promoting God consciousness, cow protection, and Brahminical culture. If the rulers of the state today promote these above, is it still possible to defeat the age of Kali, or is it just Kali is predetermined and will be dominant as it is called the age of downfall?
Well, the age is the age. And the influence of the age may be diminished. Now, Prabhupada does go so far as to say it can become the golden age again. It can become like Satyayuga. Now, provided the way that Prabhupada put it was some percentage of the population, particularly those who are in the leading position. But so it's possible, it's fully possible to restore the auspiciousness of previous ages, even in this present age. More likely, reality is, not many people will participate, but the influence can be significantly diminished. Upliftment for some, and the negative influences significantly diminished. But still Kali Yuga. For the rest. That is, degradation, deterioration, etc.
This is Sanchari Madhuri's question. We hear often of Krishna's relationship with Arjuna or Uddhava or his family members in their adulthood. Are there any scriptures talking of Krishna's first meeting with his extended family members?
Extended family members means what? I mean, when he went to Mathura, that's one experience. And then from Mathura, he personally shifted everybody from the Yadu dynasty members from Mathura to Dwarka. So the main exchange is getting to meet and interact with the devotees in Mathura. It sounds like that's what she's asking. Huh? What does the first meeting look like? But the main exchange is with Vasudeva and Devaki, but then Vasudeva and Devaki made their requests, please stay with us. And specifically, one of the reasons was because though now that Kamsa has killed, there are persons who will come to take revenge and retaliate. So please stay with us. But that's the protection feature of their relationship. The affection feature of their relationship is also there. Their interest to see that he gets his education. There's not a lot describing the extended family members when he comes to Mathura that I'm aware of. But I haven't read Padma Purana and Vishnu Purana, and those pastimes are also described there, so I don't know.
So her second part of the question was, if there are not too many references about this, is it because the sweetness of these relationships were not the main focus of Krishna's pastimes outside of Vrindavan?
Not necessarily. By that I mean the pastimes of Ramchandra and his brothers with Dasarath and Kaushalya and the other queens, there's not a lot of description. I'm sure it was very sweet, but there's not a lot of description. So it's not just because the sweetness outside of Vrindavan is the same, therefore there's less description. I'm sure there was sweetness in Ram's pastimes. It's just not provided in any of the, at least certainly not in the Valmiki Ramayana. Maybe in the other Ramayanas, something more, but not as extensive as his later pastimes. So I don't think that's the reason why, necessarily. Because it's important. There's a lot of description. There's a reasonable amount of description in Dwarka. He spent a lot of time in Dwarka, and not nearly as much time in Mathura. But you know, her question specifically is the first meeting of the extended family members. And if it's not, it's because it's not as sweet as Vrindavan. Maybe other reasons. Besides that one.
This question is from Visalaksha Prabhu. How a poor soul like me cultivate a simple, pure, loving devotion of Vrindavan on Lord Shri Krishna in the midst of speculations and sinful life?
How are you to do it in the midst of all that? That's the question. Cling to the lotus feet of Krishna and the Vaishnavas. And by their mercy, you can move forward.
Amara Mataji was asking, due to bad bargain, one falls in the material world and there is no option other than to live in illusion on and off proportion to our bhakti. So can the illusion or illusory vision also be dovetailed in Krishna's service, and how?
Well, we do it all the time. Can it? Yes. And how? You know, under the guidance of scripture. Think of anything, you know, sit in the room and look around the room. What do you see? You know, we have illusory things. We're dovetailing them in Krishna's service. That is to say, we're using them in Krishna's service. And then, because they're being used in Krishna's service, it's helpful to nurture the core, the essence of bhakti. And then it helps us when you see those things in that way and engage with them in that way, it helps us in the core bhakti practices, the essential bhakti processes. Okay, that's it. Anything from you? You're the only one in the room that hasn't volunteered something. You have something further?
So when you are talking about the heroes, I always had a desire that at least I have hero as Srila Prabhupada. But somehow I don't remember as much as I want him or in the thoughts. Like my elder son right now, he went for actually playing basketball practice. And he has his favorite hero, and he wears his shoes, his jersey, everything he wants, whatever he does. So, sometimes I feel that yes, maybe he can later on convert that attraction to pure devotees. For me, I feel I never had anyone like that in my life, like who is I hold up to. So it becomes challenging. How is it possible? Like, I always remember them and try to see them and that kind of thing.
There are some persons who, during this, without using names, there are persons who are, because of the pandemic situation, they're, more engaged in reading, in reading groups, or in reading on their own, or both, on devotional literatures. There's probably people doing other kinds of literatures too, but devotional literatures has that the effect of specific to Prabhupada. They're reading this biography and then reading that biography and reading the next biography and the next biography about person's experience with Prabhupada. And it's giving them this big panorama picture of different persons with the same events experiencing the same thing in a different way according to their relationship. And, you know, it's elevating their appreciation for Prabhupada and elevating their understanding of what it means to have a relationship with someone. It's going to be different for another person and different for another person, and that's fine. And so it's nourishing, be specific to these individuals, for these individuals of Prabhupada as a hero, and holding him as a hero and understanding what it means. Because, you know, even the worldly heroes, just taking the example of a young boy having a sports hero that they emulate. I mean, here, just a little joke. In the early, my early sannyas days, it was a practice. I had a list of people to visit. I got in a van and went all around the country. And common when I was traveling is their son, who is now off at school, they would put me in their son's room to stay. So, over on that wall was the little red sports car. Over on that wall was their Bollywood hero. And over on that wall was Michael Jordan. And then over here on the nightstand was a little image of Ganesh. And it was like standard paraphernalia, and you know, an Indian kid growing up in America, they've got their heroes, and then there's Ganesh to remove obstacles to achieve the goal. And off they are at college doing, you know, preparing for a life they can get. And the first car they get is a little red sports car. They don't get a, you know, a Toyota or a Honda. Or, you know, they get a little red sports car. And then they get real, then they get practical and get, you know, something else. But, I mean, there's exceptions, but that's kind of like, so, and is it possible to, yes, it's possible to transition. And it's, you know, it's not artificial. It's just something that can grow by the maturing of bhakti. Same as we were saying about this Raghunuga bhakti topic, but bhakti in just in general. So, you know, we connect, in Amara's question about connecting ourselves with the worldly things, and it, you know, we have bodies and minds, we have psychophysical coverings, and we attend to them. We don't trash them or beat ourselves up because we have them. We attend to them and try to dovetail a Krishna eyes. So, back to your question, it's perfectly natural to have someone who you emulate. And if it's not this, it's that. If it's not that, it's another, something. Without going into details, there's somebody somewhere. So, to let that focus become some appreciation for a spiritual personality, it's very simple. The process is simple. You hear about, you speak about, you remember, you pray to, you know, you go in that direction, primarily through hearing. And then vibrating, speaking. And it becomes, it's not artificial, it's quite natural. Then some attraction for that person. And maybe, you know, it may modify and go over to that person and then that person. So when you have multiple heroes. And so it starts with the hearing process. And the good fortune of young people like yourself is you're getting the chance to hear this sound vibration when you're very young. And it's not like, you know, the other kids necessarily in the neighborhood have that attraction, and so I don't want to be weird. How do I be who I am? And et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. So there's various influences at play. Our own prior lifetime conditioning, and then being born into a particular family and growing up in an atmosphere that's got a whole mix of stuff going on. And, you know, who am I, and what's, I want to be accepted, and I want to be, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. You know, the journey is not easy, but there's good fortune having at least heard at an early age. That's, you know, something that I didn't have. I didn't even hear Krishna's name till I was 20. So hearing it at an earlier stage, that's good fortune. And then take that, how to nurture that good fortune, that's a parent's topic. And, you know, for yourself also. It is good fortune, and how to value that good fortune and develop it till it becomes even more greater fortune. Doesn't mean don't have your basketball practices and your basketball heroes, but continue with the hearing process. That's another good fortune. It's the greatest of good fortunes. Okay, you gonna end? Do you have anything more? Okay. Go.